The Word of God says we are the righteousness of God. The Word of God says that we are holy. The Word of God says that we are full of power. It says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. It says that God loves us. It says as He is, so are we in this world. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? All those holy things. The Bible says that we stand before Him holy and above reproach. The Bible says that He will never be angry with us or rebuke us because we are called trees of righteousness. Now, I mean, all that holiness, all that righteousness, as He is, so are we. We are called the body of Christ, His own peculiar people, a holy nation. The righteousness, the goodness of God dwells in us, the representatives of God Almighty in this world. And all those good things and holy things, I mean, God calls us all of that. But now, what if you do something wrong? How does peace work with doing something wrong? What if you break one of the laws in the Old Covenant or one of the Ten Commandments if you don't walk in love? You know, if you have received all these things, and this is what the Bible says, if God so loves us, we ought to love one another. That means if we've received righteousness, if we receive it as a gift, we need to walk in righteousness. It needs to manifest in our life. I think I must say it differently, otherwise we're going to understand this wrong. If you are the righteousness of God, righteousness is supposed to manifest in your life. Doesn't help we say, I'm the righteousness of God, now I'm going to do righteous deeds. And then you're just back under the law again. You are full of holiness, but you serve God out of your mind, out of willpower, just trying to obey the Scriptures, even with the righteousness of God in you. I think that's the problem with most Christians today. They are born again, they've received the righteousness of God, but they serve the righteousness of God, and they serve holiness, and they serve God out of their mind, and not out of the righteousness that's within them. Not allowing their new nature just to flow through them, not believing that that can happen. Now, well, anyway, if you are all these things and you do sin, you do not walk in righteousness. You are, the Bible says in Romans 5, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart. Now, if the love of God is shed abroad in your heart and you don't love, you see somebody in need and you don't give unto him, you see one of your family members or somebody in the church really struggling and you just shut your heart for him, you don't help him, what then? How does a heart that is condemned ask from God by faith? How do we keep peace in that? Because let's face it, let's just be practical. Even if you know you're the righteousness of God, even if you know you are holy, here and there you're going to make mistakes. Maybe it can be a big mistake. Maybe you could have done something that is so horrible that you can never forgive yourself for that. Maybe you just feel so condemned and so broken down in your heart that you've got no peace at all. How do we keep peace in a situation like that? How do we keep peace when God says, I give you my peace, but we've done things that want to remove our peace from our hearts? Remember, it's very important to keep your heart pure before God. It's very important to keep your heart holy before God. Now, I just want to define what purity is and holiness is. To be pure and to be holy is to be in Jesus. Keep your heart, keep your belief system by believing in Jesus and that His deeds has been accounted to you. His holiness has been accounted to you. The punishment that He received for sin is written on your name. It says, you've lived holy, everything you've done wrong, you've paid everything in the name of Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? That is so, so powerful. I want to read a scripture from 1 John. We're going to read here from verse 17. But whoso has this world's goods and sees his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwells the love of God in him? So what he's actually saying is, if you shut up your heart of compassion. Now, this person does have a heart of compassion. So many times we read this scripture and we see this scripture as God saying, well, if you don't love others, then you don't have the love of God in you. And this is what we read here sometimes. We interpret it not in the right way. It says, but whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his bowels of compassion from him. In other words, there is compassion, there is love in him, and the possessions, because of the blessing of God, is in his life. But he willingly shuts it. How will the love of God then dwell in him if he doesn't allow compassion to have the full work in his life? You see, that's what happened to us. We received the love of God. You go to church, you hear a wonderful message. Maybe you're listening to this broadcast. You feel, oh man, the love of God is around me. I'm holy. The goodness of God is around me. His angels is around me. He's provided for me. All my needs are met in Christ. He's just good unto me. And you feel that peace. And you feel that joy. And you feel all of those things. And then what happens? You see a brother in need. And you just deliberately closes your heart. You close that bowels of compassion, that deep compassion that you feel for him. You just decide, I'm not going to help him just because of sinning. That's just wrong. It's just you just missing your character. The word sin literally means to miss your character, to miss who you are and not live who you are. You are in sin. You're not living who you are. What then? Now, a person like that, and this is what the Bible says here, if you are closing your heart of compassion, if you are listening to the good news and you really get it into your life, and you close that door, that by the good news, by the love of Jesus Christ, love will flow in your life, how will love in any other way be in your life? You see, you cannot have compassion on people without compassion in your heart. How will you have the love of God flow in your life if you just say, well, I'm going to have compassion because the Word says, then you go and give stuff to people. You don't even want to give it, but you give it because the Word says. I mean, that's not the love of God. Only from your innermost being, from the core that's within you, can the love of God flow. It's the only way. That's what that scripture says. Then it says, my little children, let us love not in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now what he says here is we need to allow the love of God to flow through our lives and to manifest. Then it says a very important thing. It says in verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth. If you see the love of God manifesting in your life, it's just an assurance to your heart that you are of the truth. That the gospel does work. Yeah, that's the first thing the devil will tell you. If you say, well, I am the righteousness of God, and you commit a sin, he will say, ah, you know, this whole righteousness teaching, God's love teaching, Christ in you, Christ through you teaching, a lot of rubbish. It doesn't work. And what the devil wants and what the situation wants is for you to doubt what God has placed in your heart. It wants to rob you from the peace, the union that there is between you and God, the joys of heaven, the enjoyment of that which is good. Because it wants to tell you that what you believe doesn't work. And you must be careful. That's what the devil will want to tell you. That's what the enemy will want to bring into your life. He wants to accuse you and make you guilty by telling what you believe doesn't work. So that's why the Bible says, walk in love. And that's my advice unto you. Go and do what is good. Go and live a holy life by knowing what Jesus has done. Go and live a holy life by the intuition of the Holy Spirit. Go and live it. Allow that compassion which is in your heart. Allow it to just come forth. You know, maybe you feel compassion in your heart to be good to somebody, but maybe it's going to cost you something. Now you say, well, I can't. No. I'm scared about. Know that God will always provide for you. Allow that emotion to come forth and live it. And you will have such a, how can I say, a confirmation of the good news that you believe. I always say it this way. Your deeds preaches all the time. Not to others only, but to you. If I do something good, then I say, oh man, I see the gospel, the good news, the intuition of the Holy Spirit, the power of God is flowing through me. This good news is an action in my body. And if I do something wrong, then the situation wants to preach unto me. It wants to say, you see, you're a sinner, you can't do good, and all of that. What we need to know is, let's allow the good to flow through our lives, and in that way we will know for sure that we are part of the truth because it manifests in our life. Now what if we don't get it right? Let's read verse 19. Verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now listen. If your heart would condemn you, in other words, If you didn't do anything right, if you did do something wrong, if you did shut your heart of compassion to your brother, if you haven't done something good, your heart will condemn you. That's what it says. But if you did something good, your heart, your belief system will say, yes, I know. Your mind will say, I know I'm of the truth. It's manifesting in my life. I can see it. All that it says is the best way to see that God is true is by allowing God to flow through you, by knowing God's unconditional love, mercy, and grace. And if we don't live by it, by that, by doing something wrong, our hearts will condemn us. But God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God. Isn't that wonderful? Then have we confidence towards God. Now, if your heart condemns you, it wants to stop your confidence towards God. It wants to stop your confidence towards what you do in life, towards the vision that you have. I've seen in my own life, sometimes, you know, I'm raising my children, my wife and I, and we try to be good fathers and a good mother and everything, and sometimes I'll do something wrong. And then your heart will condemn you and say, you know, man, you'll never be a good dad. Comes into your mind. Then I just say, no, man, my heart's not going to condemn me. My heart's not going to tell me that I cannot be blessed. I am the blessed of God, and this is what the Word of God says. And then I take the Word of God, I quote a couple of scriptures, I meditate upon what He says about me, and I feel the peace of God just floods my heart. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? Let's read verse 20. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. So I want to tell you this. Even if your heart condemns you, even if you've done something wrong and your heart condemns you and says you're not a Christian, you're not good, you're not of God, you are bad, God is greater than your heart and He knows all things. Hallelujah. So don't lose your confidence. Once your heart condemns you, you want to lose confidence. But this is what John says, so that we can maintain our confidence. God is greater than your heart. Amen. God is greater than just the way you believe. God is greater than that condemnation that's in your heart. God is greater than that guilt that's in your heart. Verse 21, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God. That's why we should not be under legalism. That's why we should not be under works righteousness. Because if you're under works righteousness, you're just going to see your sins. Your heart's going to condemn you. You're going to have no confidence towards God. When you pray for somebody, you will not pray with confidence. I've seen it so many times. Years ago, when I would go and pray for the sick, if I've lived the holy life that day or the week before, if I fasted, if I've done something good, I would go with great boldness and see astounding miracles. Because I had a belief system in my life that said, if I do these four or five things, then I can be blessed. Then I did the five things, and you know, you can only do it for a day or two, or maybe a half a day. And once you've qualified on your own standard, the five things that you need to do, like prayer, you need to just spend time with your children, you need to be speak soft and tenderly unto your wife, and read the Bible, and make sure that you go to church. Maybe when you've done those things, or when you've done, that was with my in my life, when I've done those things, I felt a boldness. Well, I'm righteous. Jesus, and then I would say, Jesus made me righteous. Jesus made me holy. And all I've done was, I believed what He gave me freely after I've met the conditions that I've placed there for myself. And then I would go and pray. And you know, we would see the blind, see the deaf, yeah, lame people walking. I remember those days in Potchefstroom, and go into the townships and just pray for the sick. We would see astounding miracles. There was a lady that was born without an eardrum. God healed her. Man, amazing stuff would happen. And then the next day, I would have a fight with my wife or something, or I would just be upset with someone, or I would be out of money. I tell you, I would just be down in the dumps, and then somebody come and they've just got a simple thing like a headache, and say, oh, please pray for me, you know, man of God, I've seen you pray for, and I would pray and nothing would happen, because I didn't meet the conditions that I've placed there for myself before I'll receive freely from God. My heart condemned me. I didn't have boldness to go and just receive from God, or not to just to receive, to walk in what He has freely given unto me. That's why it's important, live a holy life, because your heart will easily condemn you. It's just like that in this world. You can say, well, I believe the good news. But if you see something practical in this physical world just speaking against what you believe and what you can't see with your eyes, it sometimes has got such a powerful, convincing power that you will struggle to have confidence. But remember, if you have done something wrong, if you have sinned, God is greater than your heart. Hallelujah. And He knows all things. And the Bible says, if we have got confidence before God, in other words, if we've got peace in our hearts, it says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do the things that is pleasing in His sight. Now, if you are doing the things that are pleasing in the sight of God, you'll have confidence. Because you will not condemn yourself. Now let me explain to you what condemnation is. You get sin, then you get judgment, then you get condemnation, then you get punishment. First you sin. You've got that list of five things that you need to do. You need to pray half an hour a day, or spend a half an hour a day in Bible study. You don't do it that day. Now you feel you've sinned. Now you judge yourself and say, I am guilty. It's judgment. You are guilty. And then you speak the condemnation. You condemn yourself. I cannot be blessed. I'm not blessed because I've done this. Condemnation is what is spoken over you because of the judgment. You judge if you are guilty or not. Once you are guilty, what happens to you? What you say then, that's the condemnation. Jesus was found guilty and then He was condemned unto death. He was not really guilty. People, the Jews of that time, I mean the whole law system, found Him guilty falsely. But let me just explain this to you. A person would come into the court. He would be judged. Once he's guilty, then his judgment would be spoken over him, whatever punishment that would be, and then punishment will happen. So if your heart condemns you, that means if you felt bad about it, and then you've made a decision about it, and you've said, well, I am guilty, and this is my punishment. You'll just speak the punishment over yourself. You will just say, well, God cannot hear me. God cannot give unto me. But listen, God is greater than your heart. Have confidence in the works of Jesus. Don't walk in your own works. Walk in the works of Jesus. This is what He says. He says, live a holy life. But if you don't do it, know that you can receive because God is greater than your heart. Amen. And then it says, your heart will not condemn you if you live holy and keep His commandment. Now, so many times we think the commandment of God is just doing that which is right, doing that which is holy. Now, that's just one part of the commandment, but there's a great commandment in the Word of God, and we read that in verse 23. And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. In other words, there's two commandments. The first one, He said, you must believe on the name of Jesus, and by having faith in the finished work of Jesus, you'll have absolute peace in your heart. You will not be threatened by stuff. You will, in your heart, feel such a peace that out of that peace will flow life and love towards others. So I want to say, get into the peace of God. Know what is freely given to you. Don't walk by your works to receive peace. Because your heart will condemn you. And once your heart condemns you, my friend, you will struggle to receive from God. Not because He doesn't want to give, but because you will not allow yourself to receive from Him. Now, I think the thing that we need to do, the five laws or the two laws or the three laws or the 10 laws that you have in your life before you can be blessed, man, get it out of your life and get the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is, I bless you, just believe it. Amen. You know, there was time in my life when I just struggled financially so much. And I would just think, what have I done wrong that I cannot receive from God? Then I would look at my giving. I've tithed. I've done this. I've done that. I've done everything. Still there's something wrong. And then I said, oh well, I haven't named the seed. Oh, I haven't claimed the seed. Oh, I haven't watered the seed. And all of that. And I would never have peace. But when I came to a point where I said, well, the nature of God in me is that I'm a giver. I give where I see a need. I don't shut my heart. I keep it open. I allow the love of God to flow through me. I've got such a confidence. I know that God always meets my need, because the Bible says, you know the grace of God. Though He was rich, for your sakes He became poor, so that you through His poverty might be made rich. Hallelujah, man. That is peace. That's harmony. That's the joys of heaven. That is the assurance and the emotion that comes into the lives of people when they know everything has been paid for. Amen. That is wonderful. So by the scripture, we've clearly seen that if your heart condemns you, still have confidence, because God is greater than your heart. But there is a benefit in living a holy life concerning your heart and your life in this world. I just want to read a scripture in Proverbs chapter 4. Just speaking a bit more about the heart of man. I'm just going to do this quickly. We're going to read from verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now what he says here, and if we take this into the New Testament, we need to give close attention to the message of the finished work of Jesus Christ. You need to give close attention unto the message of God's unconditional love towards you. Because that will just protect your heart. That will bring life out of your heart. That's what he says. It will be health to all your flesh and life unto you. Don't take this message of God's love as just a soft message, a message that doesn't have power. The message of God's love is the message that compels you to be like Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His Son. So love has got the force that you give your only begotten Son for the kingdom of God. Now I mean, there's no power in me, in normal, humanly speaking, that will make me give my Son into the kingdom. But the love of God can make me do it. God's love can make a person do that thing. Amen. Now listen to what he says. He says, for they are life unto them that find them, and health to all their flesh. Verse 23. Keep your heart, or guard your heart, protect your heart with all diligence. For out of your heart are the issues of life. Now, we need to know the message of God's unconditional love, the message that He has paid everything for us, the message of justification. And the more we know that, the more we guard our heart. Please don't open your ears and your heart unto do's and don'ts, unto messages that says, by this, by what you do, you will have righteousness. By what you do, you're going to please the Father. Please don't open your heart for that. Because once you open your heart for that, your heart is not under protection anymore. He says, guard your heart above everything by keeping your eyes in the Word of God. Now the Word of God, as we said, is not just the Bible. The Word of God is contained in this Bible. Every scripture that's written down here contains the Word of God. Amen. You know, if I say unto my wife, oh, you know, my little flower, come here. The letter of the Word is that she's a flower. But I don't degrade her, that making her a flower. If I say, my little flower, come here. The word in that letter is the one that's beautiful, the one that's precious to me. Come here. My wife, come here. I'm calling you. That is what it is. The same with the Word of God. There's a letter, but then there's a meaning. What did He mean when He wrote that down? In the light of the finished work of Jesus. Don't think, what did He mean in the Old Testament? Think, what does He mean in the light of the New? In the light of the obedience of Jesus? In the light of the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Once you see that, then you'll read the Word. Otherwise, you're just reading the letter. And the letter puffs up and kills you. That's what the Word of God says. And by knowing the letter, just the do's and don'ts, you will just, in your heart, you'll get a renounce. You'll get something against the Word of God. You will not open your heart for the Word of God. You will just say, oh God, I cannot open my heart for this. This sounds too good to be true. I've worked too hard for this. Now let's just read this again. It's so powerful. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues or the forces that drives your life. The more you know God's unconditional love, the greater drive you will have in your life. Don't allow the law in your life, because it will dump condemnation in your life. Remember, peace goes hand in hand with what Jesus has done. Condemnation goes hand in hand with what you are doing. We read that in 1 John. So do good out of the life of God, and if your heart condemns you, just say, "Thank you, Jesus. You, Father, you are greater than my heart." Amen. I just trust that you've been blessed by these four sessions in which we discuss the peace of God, and that peace comes to your heart. Let's just pray together, and I believe God is going to bless you so much. If you've got sickness in your body, God wants to heal you right now. You can have peace. You've qualified to be healed. Hallelujah. You thought that I must name it and claim it and just confess all day. Now that's all good. That just convinces your heart of the goodness of God. But you have qualified. You can receive your healing now. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray and I speak the healing power of God over all sickness right now. I rebuke cancer. I rebuke sugar diabetes in the name of Jesus. I rebuke low blood pressure, high blood pressure, every negative thing in the body of a person, backache, paralysis, in Jesus' name, I rebuke it. If there's people that's deaf, I rebuke that deafness. I say, hear in Jesus' name and be healed. Receive the peace of God. Amen.